Time for a Gaza Corner. We do this every Saturday night around 11 o'clock. It began in 2010 when the Freedom Flotilla was trying to get to Gaza, and Israel attacked it and killed 9 people, including 8 Turks and 1 Turkish American. I decided that I wanted to do something that would combine music and build awareness about an occupation that continues to this very day, and in particular in Gaza, it's a blockade and siege where even during normal times, people have 8 hours of electricity a day. 96% of the water is putrid, cannot be drunk. There is no freedom of movement. All the borders are sealed. They're in like a little cage. And for the last 25 days, that little cage where they can't really move around and there are no bomb shelters, there's no iron dome to knock anything, not knock rockets or bombs down. And an incredible amount of people have been killed in the last 25 days. And I just received this email just a moment ago. I'll share it with you from Sandy. I'll just include one excerpt from it. She says, "My parents taught me to be aware of the need to remember never again. Never again." That was the mantra after the Holocaust. This concept doesn't only apply to one people, it applies to us all. It applies to the Palestinian people who are so obviously being targeted, their children murdered and wiped out, their treaties disregarded, and their land stolen year by year. Sandy. I read just the other day that 63 families in Gaza have experienced 3 or more family members killed. 3 or more. The death count is somewhere well north of 1,500 people in 25 days. 20% children. When you have a conflict where it's impossible to know because it's so close, if there are more militants who have been killed, more Palestinian militants or more Palestinian children, you know you have just a slaughter on happening. It's horrible. And even with militants in close proximity to civilians, I mean, we're talking about a little enclave, 139 square miles, 44% of it Israel separated it out as a militarized buffer, so it's even smaller than that. But in international law, that does not give an army the right to kill civilians. There is a war crime investigation going on by the United Nations. Only one country on earth voted to say no, and that is the United States, who funds through weaponry and our tax dollars the military assault. I will say 17 countries abstained, all of them from the EU. 29 nations voted to proceed with the war crimes. Amnesty International has done a number of stories saying that war crimes are being committed. Actually, Hamas is committing war crimes as well when they fire indiscriminate rockets. That's a war crime. The scale is the difference. We're talking about 2 Israeli civilians have been killed. 1 Thai worker in Israel is killed. That's still 3 too many. Over 1,500 civilians. Actually, I'm not quite sure. Let's say 80% of the 1,500 plus have been reported to be civilians. That is a pretty uniform number. 75 to 80% of the civilians killed, I mean, of the overall total killed, are civilians. The latest news, and I just looked it up right now because things change so quickly. I'll read it to you very quickly. I like going to The Guardian UK. I think it's a very good newspaper. It says, the headline reads, "Soldier believed captured by Hamas was killed in action, says Israeli army. Hadar Golden declared dead amid signs that Israeli army may be winding down ground operation after neutralizing tunnels. Remember, that was, first it was stop rockets, then it was to end the attack tunnels, and yet still 1,500 people have been killed. Israel has said they have scientific evidence that Hadar Golden, the soldier feared abducted by Hamas on Friday in an ambush that shattered a humanitarian ceasefire, was killed in action during the attack. The announcement by Israel's chief military rabbi came just hours after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu indicated that Israel's military operation was coming to an end. Army personnel met the soldier's family at their home to inform them. Hundreds of people from around Israel gathered outside praying and showing their support. Earlier, Netanyahu said that once demolition of Hamas's tunnels into Israel was complete, the military will prepare for continuing action according to our security needs and only according to our security needs. Officials interpreted that as a meaning that Israel would adopt an approach of quiet in return for quiet. Israel had rebuffed attempts to negotiate an end to the Gaza conflict amid signs that it was moving towards unilaterally declaring a halt to fighting without an agreement that would involve concessions to Hamas. Now, I'm going to put my two cents in. Concessions to Hamas, what are we talking about? We're talking about giving the Palestinian people the basic human rights that you and I take for granted every single day, that most of the people on earth take for granted every single day. They don't have freedom to move. They don't have more than 8 hours of electricity a day. They have virtually no drinkable water. Israel targeted the only power plant in Gaza. That had nothing to do with a tunnel, nothing to do with a rocket, nothing to do with anything, except taking out their electricity, which of course also is the power that their water pumps need to work, as well as the hospitals, which are incredibly overrun with injured people, and the electricity is out. Now, some have emergency generators, many do not. The occupation, the siege of Gaza is the only way, lifting that is the only way there can be a sustaining peace. There is no other way. Returning to what was before is not a peace, it's not a solution, and it's not a concession. Israel has the obligation as the occupying force to protect the civilians. They failed at that. But the other thing is they can't occupy another people thinking that peace is going to be the result. And few people talk about that. It's not a demand of Hamas. It's a demand of all the Palestinian people. I want to read to you some articles that I posted at the Tangents website. There is a rabbi who I had not been familiar with, and he was on Democracy Now! Twice, and he also had written an article in a magazine called Politico called Israel Provoked the War. And his name is Rabbi Henry Siegman. He is a leading Jewish voice. And his father was one of the founding fathers of the European Zionist movement. He's a former executive director of the American Jewish Congress for a long time, from 1978 to 1994. Also a former executive vice president of the Synagogue Council of America. He is currently the president of the U.S. Middle East Project. I'm not going to read from the article, Israel Provoked the War. But I will remind you that I started this segment of Gaza Corner telling you that the soldier that Israel said had been kidnapped by Hamas, and Hamas said, we know nothing about it. In return, what Israel did was a revenge attack and killed 200 people in Rafah yesterday. 200 people killed because their soldier, they thought, had been kidnapped. They did that with Gilad Shalit as well. They did that in Lebanon when two soldiers were abducted. They bomb and bomb and bomb and bomb. 200 people are dead who could very well be alive today, but Israel decided to bomb because one of their soldiers they said was abducted and he wasn't. Remember, the origin of this particular chapter was when three young settlers were kidnapped and murdered. Israel knew from day one that they were murdered. They heard it on 911. But Netanyahu put a gag on the media in Israel. And for a week, he said, we didn't know what happened. We were still looking for them. They turned the West Bank upside down. They rearrested some 400 Palestinians, many from Hamas, who had nothing to do with the abduction and the killing. And they also killed a number of people in the West Bank. And that provoked Hamas to fire rockets. And then, a couple of weeks later, Israel says very quietly, Hamas was not involved in the killing or the abducting of those three settlers. But meanwhile, for that whole week, they whipped up a frenzy of animosity toward the Palestinians to build a strong case for public opinion for the aerial attack on Gaza as well as the ground invasion. So Rabbi Henry Siegman's article is called Israel Provoked This War in Politico. The link is at tangents.com. And then there are two links to his Democracy Now! Appearances. July 30th, A Slaughter of Innocents is one of his quotes. And the second one is Stop Killing Palestinians and End the Occupation. There's also a note from the liberal Zionist writer Peter Beinart, who recently wrote on his Facebook page a short piece which ended this way. He says, can anyone say with confidence that there is any action the Israeli government could take that American Jewish leaders would not seek to justify? I can't, and that terrifies me. He also wrote an excellent article that I think is a must read called What American Jews Haven't Been Told About Gaza. It appeared in Haaretz and as a blog entry on his website. Again, I link it at tangents.com. Finally, I want to point you to an article that Brian Eno wrote. It actually appeared, of all places, on David Byrne's website. This is an excerpt from Brian Eno. I sense I'm breaking an unspoken rule with this letter, but I can't keep quiet anymore. Why does America continue its blind support of this one-sided exercise in ethnic cleansing? As for the peace process, Israel wants the process, but not the peace. Like it or not, in the eyes of most of the world, America represents the West. So it is the West that is seen as supporting this war. Despite all our high-handed talk about morality and democracy, the war has no moral justification that I can see, but it doesn't even have any pragmatic value either. Brian Eno and Peter Gabriel are among 21,000 people, I think, Brits, who signed an open letter urging an Israeli arms embargo. They signed an open letter to British Prime Minister David Cameron, demanding an immediate halt to the arms trade between the UK and Israel. Journalist and activist Jemima Khan said, quote, where is the worldwide uproar? Shame on our leaders who would speak up if this were happening to any other country on earth, unquote. Member of Parliament Jemima Khan, a member of Parliament, I don't have the correct name there. The UK has a very close relationship with Israel, including buying and selling arms, and it's time that this relationship was brought to an end since Israel is now under investigation for war crimes over the bombing of Gaza. I received an email from Dr. Mads Gilbert, a Norwegian doctor, working in Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, and it brought tears to my eyes when he was describing the pools of blood, the electricity cut off, the lack of clean water, and the continuous surge of the dead and injured pouring into the hospital. I mentioned before, this is my two cents again, over 15,000 deaths, 20%, some people say 25 to 30%, but somewhere between 20 and 30%, children dead. And lastly, filmmaker Ken Loach told reporters, "It's disgraceful that our government is arming the state of Israel to continue its slaughter of civilians, of women and children." He's talking about the British government. "Everyone must be devastated by the sight of the maimed and the dead in Gaza, and everyone must direct their anger towards the Israeli war machine." All of those articles are linked to the full article at tangents.com in the far right-hand column.